ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतम् गगनसदृशम् तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकम् नित्यम् विमलमचलम् सर्वधि साक्षिभूतम् भावातीतम् त्रिगुणरहितम् सद्गुरुम् तम् नमामि. ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः. ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः. ॐ So we are doing this text called Atma Bodha. And Adi Shankaracharya himself is the author of this book. And as I said, it's one of the simplest but most very comprehensive Vedantic manual. We have seen the first verse last class, and we'll continue that now. We'll read it. We'll continue.
Tapo bhihi kshina papanam. Tapo bhihi kshina papanam. Shantanam vitaraginam. Shantanam vitaraginam. Mumukshunam apekshyoyam. क्षूणामपेक्ष्योऽयम् आत्मबोधो विधीयते. आत्मबोधो विधीयते.
आत्मबोधो विधीयते. आत्मबोधो अभिधीयते. बोत् मीन् द सेम्. सो दि फस्ट् वर्स् प्रेसेन्स् qualifications by mentioning who are qualified and thereby it also says how to become qualified. So the Atma Bodha, this textbook of Atma Bodha, is presented for the purpose of those who are desirous of moksha and those who are adequately dispassionate, which implies who have great passion for knowledge, and also who are adequately tranquil and who are also discriminate. So they discriminate dispassionate, disciplined people who have desire for moksha, or the qualified people, those who are qualified for knowledge. And how do they become discriminate? How do they become dispassionate? How do they become disciplined? And how do they discover the desire for moksha? Only by tapping Bhagavan's grace. When they become discriminate, they have passion for jnanam. They become dispassionate towards other things. And they become dispassionate towards other things because of their passion for greater joy and knowledge. And they become disciplined. And for which they must have had Bhagavan's grace. Punyena vina. Without grace, it is not possible for one to become even discriminate. Without becoming discriminate, without having discriminative understanding, without the viveka that the world will not give me happiness, everything in the world is of the nature of coming and going, so it cannot give me everlasting happiness and peace. This is simple. We may think it's very simple. In fact, a great understanding. The world, I should not depend on the world for my happiness, for my peace. The world cannot give me happiness and peace. When I say world, I mean objects, things, situations and people. All that, wherever we have any bond with anything and anybody, that bond, nothing wrong in having bond, but being dependent on them for our happiness and joy, peace, is a wrong thing. It's incorrect thing. Therefore, and that understanding itself is a big, basic discovery. Discrimination. And how one becomes an intelligent person? Only when a person learns from his experiences. And to be able to learn from one's experiences, one must live one's life for a few years, some years. This is when we are very young, we are not that discriminate because we don't have enough of experiences. As we grow older and older, we need not become 19, 95 to have the to learn. Even if we live for some years, and a few experiences are enough to understand whatever experience I'll have in life, any experience will be time bound like this. That's why in Tamil we say, Oru paane sotrukku oru soru padam. When you boil rice, simple village expression, you cook the rice, and to know whether the rice is cooked or not, you don't need to go and see every rice whether it's cooked or not. If you cook, take one or two rice and you check test, it's enough. Oh, rice is cooked. Similar to, you don't need to live the whole life and go through all the experiences to know the world is time bound. The world cannot give me everlasting happiness and peace. You don't need to live the whole life or all the experiences. It's enough if you, as a mature person, a grown-up person, if you live for some years and then you have the understanding. And if a person has that understanding and he is really mature person, I was wrong in my conclusions. I was aviveki. I was indiscriminate. I could not see this limitation of these worldly things. I could not see the limitations of my relationships or people and anything, that I shouldn't have been relying on them for my happiness and peace. I thought everything will be there forever, keeping me in good humor, making me happy and peaceful. What a foolish thing. I've been so foolish. Depending on them, I spend by expecting those things. And we're expecting, enjoying when you live, and when the things change, there's a big blow. Every small loss, every small disappointment, every experience, and the loss of what? No, blow. Greater the joy you experience, have in the presence of object or person, situation, and the equally greater is the pain you go through in its absence. So this experience, now learning from one's life's experiences, anubhava jnanam, anubhavehi jnanam, that jnanam, that discrimination, if you have, then there's a changing, there's a new phase of life really begins then. That is how you become converted into a spiritual person. Till that viveka takes place, there is no spirituality. You are not a spiritual person. That turning point, that conversion from being a simple unethical or ethical person, or simply being a religious person, simply a worshipful person, or simply a good person, but you're not innocent, naive person. The real conversion takes place, then you become a spiritual person. And what to become a spiritual person, to have the turning point in life, then to change the priority. Nothing in the world becomes the priority, as I told you last class. Now, initially, you take Bhagavan as one of the ends, then Bhagavan becomes the, most important of the ends. Then afterwards, Bhagavan becomes the only ultimate end. The end changes. As the priority changes, then everything changes. For the change to take place, people ask, what is a turning point in your life? Isn't it? When this conversion takes place, for that conversion to take place, one must have punyam, abundance of punyam, one must have grace, anugraha. And for the anugraha, one must have punyam. And to have punyam, all one's credit must be what? Only lots of good karma. Good karma means what? Ethical life, righteous life, life of values, and prayerful life, worshipful life. And prayerful and worshipful life implies one being, a righteous person means the prayerful person. As a prayerful person, one becomes an intelligent karta, an intelligent bhokta also. To be make it short, I can say karma yogi. Isn't it? So tapas. So tapas, one word implies the whole dharma shastram of Veda. People don't understand, dharma means we are not interested. Dharma is not the direct means for moksha. Isn't it? Karma, dharma, upasanam, meditation, disciplines, they're all not the means for moksha. But still, without them, there is no moksha possible. They're only indirect means. They prepare the mind for jnanam. That's why tapas. Okay? So we have seen that. And in the same verse, and we have to see something differently today. The author, Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada, indirectly presents the Anubandha Chatushtayam also. Now, what is Anubandha Chatushtayam? Chatushtayam means a set of four. Anubandhaha means the four factors which had to be involved in any textbook. Because the author, even the presentation of Anubandha Chatushtayam always serves as an appetizer or is a thirst, it creates a thirst or appetite for knowledge. Isn't it? When you take an appetizer, it creates an appetite for food. Here also, the mind needs food, and the mind should have appetite for food. And the appetite for food is created when these factors, four factors involved, to be involved in the textbook are presented. So here they are indirectly mentioned here. So what are those four factors? Vishayaha, subject matter, the content of the textbook is what? Vishayaha, subject matter. And then adhikari or adhikarinaha means those people intending, you know, for whose sake this book is presented, or the target group, the people who deserve this knowledge, or people who are inclined for this knowledge, who are interested in this knowledge. Adhikarinaha. The readers, audience. Okay. Then the third one is prayojanam. Prayojanam or phalam, the benefit. Benefit. And the fourth, the benefit of gaining, is it? Benefit. What's the benefit of reading the content of this textbook? The benefit is a third one, prayojanam. And the fourth anubandha is sambandha, connection. These four anubandha chatushtayam, the four factors also are indirectly involved here itself, in the book, in the verse itself. So what is the vishayaha of this atmabodha? What is subject matter of this textbook? Atma. Atmabodha itself tells you, atma, the self, is the subject matter of the textbook. And who are the people, who are the adhikarinaha? Mukshavaha, shantaha, all the words are there. Vitaraginaha, kshinapapaha, you know, kshinapapaha, those who are purified of their, relatively purified of their papams, neutralized their papams, the fruits of wrong actions, those who have neutralized their, not totally, neutralized their ill effects of the fruits of the wrong actions. How? By invoking Bhagavan's grace. How? By acquiring punyam. How? By living a clean, ethical, moral, prayerful, worshipful life. Kshinapapaha. Thereby, who could learn and become discriminate? Kshinapapaha. And shantaha. Because of their conflict-free life, isn't it? Because of the life being committed to values and righteousness and righteousness, there's no conflict, there's no split in their personality. Therefore, conflict-free minded, shantaha, tranquil-minded. And such people, because of the discrimination, they know what is that they want. They know what is that which alone can give what they want. Thereby they know what, how the world cannot give what they want. Thereby they have become dispassionate, such dispassionate people. And now, who knowing the value of the moksha and are committed to the pursuit of moksha, and who know the connection between moksha and this knowledge, the connection between moksha and knowledge of the self is not clear, then for moksha they cannot become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Isn't it? So such people who are mumukshavaha. Therefore, these are the adhikarinaha people. In fact, these four words briefly tell you that those who are endowed with the fourfold qualifications. Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. Those who have viveka vairagya, shamadhi shatka sampattihi anumukshutvam. They are the adhikarinaha. It's implied. And what is the benefit of this knowledge? But reading this book, and knowledge is the benefit, and knowledge itself is what? Mokshaha. By studying this book, what is the prayojanam? What fruit do I gain? What benefit do I gain by reading this book? By understanding, isn't it? By reading this book, by studying this content, I gain knowledge. And the knowledge itself is mokshaha. Knowledge and moksha are not two different things. Why? Because knowledge is janakam and moksha is janyam. There's a connection between knowledge and moksha. It's called janaka janya sambandha. Janaka janya sambandha means what now? They're not too, I mean, after gaining self-knowledge, nothing needs to be done for the knowledge to be effective. See, when we say, if we study yogasana, and yogasana, if you have studied yogasana, if you do not practice yogasana, it will not be effective. If you have learnt cookery, and after learning, you have to practice, otherwise that knowledge is of no use. Sometimes the knowledge, one has to gain knowledge, the knowledge has to be implemented for it to be effective. Whereas such, then that's a different thing, isn't it? Whereas here, self-knowledge itself is the end, because there is no, it need not be practiced, something, nothing needs to be done after jnanam. Therefore, the sambandha is what now? Actually, janaka janya sambandha. Therefore, what now? That's the proof, benefit. Moksha is the benefit. And how do we know? Because mumukshunam, that word itself tells, those who seek moksha, for them, this book is apekshaha. It is needed when it is said. That word itself implies moksha being the benefit. Prayojanam. Then last is sambandha. Sambandha means the subject matter is not atma jnanam, but atma is the subject matter. Okay? For atma jnanam, this book serves as a means of knowledge. Therefore, this book can be known as atma jnanam. But subject matter of the book is not atma jnanam, but atma. The benefit is jnanam. Well, what a connection between atma and the atma is the subject content. revealed, pratipadyaha vishayaha, what is revealed by the text is Atma, and the text is what? No, pratipadakam. Text, between the text and the content of the text, the connection is revealer, revealed connection. Pratipadaka, pratipadya, sambandaha. Words reveal, and what is revealed is Atma. What is Atma? The Self. What is Self? The invisible, imperishable, indestructible, innermost reality of every being. Invisible, imperishable, indestructible, eternal, innermost nature, reality of every being is Atma. Okay, therefore, what is it? That Atma is the revealed. So, pratipadaka pratipadya sambandaha, between the text and the subject matter, will become very clear later on. I'll explain everything again. Between the jnanam and the end, moksha, jnanam and the benefits, isn't it? Knowledge and moksha, the janaka janya sambandaha, sadhana sadhya sambandaha. And here the book and the end, if you say, book serves as a means of sadhanam, and jnanam is what now? Sadhyam. Sadhana sadhya sambandaha. These connections also must be very clear. Only then one can make effort, make an attempt to read. These are the fourfold factors constituting Anubandha Chatushtayam, which has to be mentioned by the author in his very introduction, which will serve as an appetizer for the reader. Okay? This also implied here. Two things. Okay, we'll go to the next verse now. And as I told you earlier, the Atma Bodha language is so beautiful and simple, and almost all the topics are discussed here. And then discussing every topic, there's example given also. So if you remember the example for that, the topic also you can remember easily. So we'll go to the next one. Suppose, why should we say jnanam is the only means for mokshaha? Because the same Veda Shastram, a scripture, prescribes what? Rituals, performance of rituals is prescribed by the Shastram. And the meditative techniques are prescribed by the Shastram. The disciplines are all prescribed by the Shastram. Shamaha, Dhamaha, Uparamaha. And lots of austerity, other things are prescribed by the Shastram. And the same Shastram discusses what? Knowledge, some topic of knowledge also. But why should we say knowledge is the only means for moksha? This is an answer for all the people who innocently think, not with the wrong intention, arrogantly, but innocently, think all paths lead to the same goal. For them, Shankara gives an answer, no, there are not many paths. And our Pujya Swamiji says beautifully, Madurai Meenakshi Amman temple, next time I'll take Rajaji and all of you, if we go, they all would have seen, huge temple and four different gates, entrances to the temple. But once you go inside, the sanctum sanctorum, only one entrance. Know that? That means what? For moksha. Moksha is the end, and for which knowledge is the only means. Because for bondage, freedom from bondage is moksha. And bondage is caused by what? Ignorance is bondage. So to eliminate the ignorance other than knowledge, no other means. Bondage is, ignorance is bondage. Therefore, freedom from bondage must be only by jnanam. There are not many paths. It is the jnanam. We may practice so many things. Why should I not practice yogasanams? Why should I not sing bhajans? Why should I not only practice meditation? Why should I not pray? Why should I not only worship? People say lots of things. You can do all those things. All those things you have to do to get yourself cleansed. But once you are cleansed and then you are ready for jnanam, but jnanam is the only means for moksha. We should not get confused with the preparatory discipline and for knowledge. And the disciplines which prepare the mind for jnanam cannot serve as means of moksha. You know, serves means for moksha. But it is jnanam alone is moksha. So that Shankara emphasizes here.
Bodhonya sadhane bhyohi. Bodhonya sadhane bhyohi. Sakshan mokshaika sadhanam. Sakshan mokshaika sadhanam. Bodhonya. Bodhonya sadhanebhyohi sadhanebhyohi sakshan mokshaika sadhanam pakasya vannivajnanam vina moksho na siddhyati. Mokshona siddhyati.
See, even from the beginning, he makes the reader's mind very clear. If the very first stage, initial step itself, if there is no clarity, there is vagueness, there is a doubt about knowledge being, itself being the moksha, knowledge being the only means for moksha, because the problem is the bondage itself is because of ignorance. There is no real bondage, there is no real moksha. The bondage itself is notional, isn't it? Because of the ignorance, the bondage, therefore freedom from bondage is only by what? By jnanam it should take place. It should be very clear, only then that commitment to the pursuit of knowledge will be firm. Isn't it? Will be possible. Only then Shraddha in the Shastram also is possible. Then study will be possible. Then it be effective also. Even then it is some doubt is there. Why should I not try any other means? Sadhanam. People want to use something what is easy for them. They want to feel that they are spiritual. They want to be spiritual, but not by, they don't want to study Shastram. They don't want to understand this. They want to go for something easy, isn't it? So here Shankara says, Bodhaha. No. Eka sadhanam. Bodhaha eka sadhanam. The only means. The only means for moksha is bodhaha. knowledge. Waking up from sleep of ignorance is the only means for you to see your dream being not real. How many means are there? How many sadhanas are there? When you are dreaming, you are seeing your dream, but the dream is very much real. The dream is outside of you, in dream. But for you to know the dream is not real, dream is only a dream, not real. To know that, how many sadhanas do you have? How many means do you have? How many paths are there? The only means is what? You have to wake up from sleep. Is it? Waking up from sleep is the only sadhanam, only means for you to know the dream is dream, not real. Similarly, how many means are there for you to attain for the moksha? To know you are already free. You are already free, but you think you are not free. It's sitting in the mind very firmly, I am bound. I am bound notion is sitting there very firmly. And then you want to become free. And Shastram says you can never become free. Why you can never become free? If you are already bound, there is possibility of your becoming free. Unfortunately, you are not at all bound. Therefore, there is no way of becoming free. Therefore, all that you need to do is you need to know that you are already free. That is why knowledge is the only means. Shankara says here, bodha eka sadhanam. Knowledge is the only means for you to be free, to become free. Because you are not really becoming free. Your knowing you are already free is becoming free. Therefore, knowledge is the only sadhanam, only means. There is no other way. Anyaha pantha na vidyate. There is no other way, no other easy shortcut method. Eka sadhanam. Then sakshat moksha eka sadhanam. Mokshaya eka sadhanam. Moksha eka sadhanam. The only means for moksha, mokshaya eka sadhanam, bodaha. And how? Sakshat. Sakshat means what? Direct means of knowledge. The direct means of moksha is the knowledge. Sakshat mokshaya eka sadhanam is what? Bodaha. Then anya sadhanebhyaha. Anya sadhanebhyaha. There other, what about other sadhanani? Anya sadhanebhyaha bodaha hi sakshat mokshaya eka sadhanam. What about the other, why should, if jnanam is the only means for moksha, because moksha is not something to be attained, something to be discovered which is already there, therefore discovery is the only means, knowledge is the only means, then why should Shastram waste its time prescribing meditation and prescribing disciplines, prescribing rituals and prescribing, you know, values, teaching us karma? Why? Because they are all preparatory disciplines. It is very important for one to become. Otherwise, if you do not follow those other disciplines, they are also said to be sadhanani. Karma, prayer, worship, following disciplines, all those things are also doing duties. all of them are said to be disciplines. All of them come under the category of disciplines, because they all contribute for disciplining your mind. Doing one's duties serve as a discipline, because it contributes for disciplining your mind. Prayer contributes for disciplining your mind. Your worship contributes for disciplining your mind. Your living a life of values contributes for disciplining your mind. They all, you know, following strictly certain vows and, you know, disciplines also become disciplines. Not only those disciplines, everything becomes a discipline, because they all contribute for disciplining your mind. Therefore, they're all what now? Indirect means, not direct means. Anya sadhanani, japaha, homaha, you know, karma, sudharma, anushtanam, all of them are doing one's own duty. All these things serve as an indirect means for moksha. Why? They contribute for mental preparedness and preparation, is it? And for jnanam, for moksha, knowledge is the only means. You should never mistake the indirect means which contribute for preparing the mind, preparation of the mind, as a direct means for moksha. Knowledge is the only direct means for moksha. Mokshaya ekam sadhanam. Ekameva sadhanam, eka sadhanam. For what? Mokshaya. Understand? What is it? Moksha eka sadhanam? Bodaha, jnanam. What about other? Anya sadhanebhyaha? Anya sadhanani, other sadhanas, other disciplines are also important, but they do not become means, direct means. They become indirect means of moksha in terms of preparing the mind for jnanam, which itself is moksha. Is it clear now? Therefore, we don't need to have any doubt about all paths lead to the same goal. We'll see it tomorrow morning also. Anyway, and here Shankara gives an example here. What is the example? He says, Pakasya Vannivathu. See, in India, cooking is very important. Of course, the whole world cooking is very important. Pakasya Vannivathu. Pakaha means cooking. Pakaha. You know, Vannivathu. For cooking, Vannihi means fire. Vannivathu. For cooking, fire is the direct means. For cooking, fire is a simple example. You can never forget. Pakasya vannihi sadhanam. For cooking, the vannihi is the means. Fire is the only means. Now you can ask, what about stove? Of course, stove is very important. Just have the stove and put the rice on the top. What will happen? Rice will be sitting, then it will, how many ever days you leave it, it would not get cooked. What about containers? Without containers, how will you cook? But cook it with minus fire, you can have water, you can have containers, you can have rice, you can have other foods to be cooked, you can have stove, you can keep everything. One thing is not there, no cooking. There will not be cooking. So cooking is possible only if there is fire. Isn't it? Cooking of food, we're not talking about now. Without food, how can I cook? Rice, how can I cook? No, that's not a thing. For cooking, what is the direct means? Other things are different. Anya sadhanani. What about container? What about water? What about ingredients to be cooked? They're all anya sadhanani. What is the direct means, and what are all the indirect means? Direct means is one, that is vannihi. Pakasya vannivate. Just as fire is the only direct means for cooking, so also for mokshaya, jnanam vina mokshaha na siddhyati. Jnanam vina mokshaha na siddhyati. Moksha doesn't happen without the knowledge. Why mokshaha jnanam vina na siddhyati? Moksha doesn't happen without the knowledge because bondage is because of ajnanam. Bondage is because ajnanam. Because of ignorance only there is bondage. Therefore, knowledge is the only means for mokshaha. And here he explains further. Why do you say knowledge is the only means for moksha? He explains further.
Avirodhitaya karma, virodhitaya karma, na vidyam vinivartayet, na vidyam vinivartayet, vidya vidyam nihantyeva, vidyam nihantyeva, tejastimirasanghavat, tejastimirasanghavat, avirodhitaya karma, dhitaya karma, na vidyam vinivartayet, vidya vidyam nihantyeva, tejastimirasanghavat.
Okay. Sanghavat. Okay. He says, why should only knowledge serve as means of moksha? He says, why can't we use karma as a means of moksha? Who said karma is useless? Karma is of great use. Because karma prepares the mind. Karma cleanses the mind. All impurities, raga, dvesha, moha, mada, matsaryadi, all impurities all will get neutralized only by karma. Only by doing karma in conformity with dharma, in due course of time, you relatively become, you are able to manage your mind. There is no way of managing a mind, isn't it? Therefore, karma is very useful, karma is important, but karma is not a direct means for moksha. It is the jnanam. But if you say, no, I don't want to pursue jnanam, without jnanam, just by doing karma, I can attain moksha, I want to attain moksha. Then he says, no. Why? Because moksha is now sought because there is bondage. And the bondage is caused by ajnanam, isn't it? It is because of ignorance there is bondage. And what is that? For ignorance should go for the bondage to be resolved. If ignorance has to go, what is that which can eliminate ignorance? It is knowledge or karma. Removal of, isn't it, freedom from bondage is dependent on removal of ignorance. Ignorance caused bondage can be got rid of only by the elimination of bondage, which is what? which implies removal of ignorance. So removal of ignorance happens only by jnanam, not by karma. Why? Removal means it is like it should go. Ignorance should go. Going away of the ignorance is elimination of ignorance. That means it something which is opposed to ignorance alone can eliminate ignorance, push aside. Shatruvat agamaha, mitravat adeshaha. Isn't it? An enemy comes, two enemies cannot stay in one place. Two friends can stay in one place. Two enemies cannot stay in one place. Like karma and ajnanam are very well wishes of each other. Ajnanam is a well wisher of karma. And karma is a best wisher of ajnanam. So they cannot cancel each other. Whereas ajnanam and jnanam are opposed to each other. They cannot stay together in one place. If jnanam comes, ajnanam goes. Isn't it? Whereas karma and ajnanam are not opposed to each other. Ajnanam and karma are not opposed to each other. If karma is done, ajnanam will happily be sitting there. That means what? Karma, how much ever you do, how much ever nama japam you do, how much ever pradakshinam, temple pradakshinam you do, how many ever pujas you do, how much ever austerities you follow, whatever ratams you follow, how many ever books you read, how much ever you do, how many ever number of hours you practice meditation also, Kundalini, that, nani, so many things you can practice. Or I practice 2 hours every day meditation, the morning and the evening. And Swamiji says, before meditation you were restlessly ignorant, after meditation you become quiet, ignorant person. That means what? Even manasam karma. Meditation is a manasam karma. Isn't it? So you are a quiet samsari. Before agitated samsari, and you are a quiet samsari. You are a quiet free person. Isn't it? So all the karmas, and when Swamiji tells, you know, really, you can make it law, like that. I miss it nowadays. Anyway, now what I am saying, this is, I remember those days, what you used to say and those things. Suddenly it comes to my mind. So here, ajnanam, they are not opposed to each other. Ajnanasya karma virodhi na. Karmanaha ajnanam na virodhi. And enemy, they are not enemies, each other's enemy. Isn't it? Therefore, because they are opposed to each other, being ignorant, performing karma will sustain the ignorance. That does not mean you should not perform karma. Non-performance of karma also will not eliminate ignorance. You should be very careful. Non-performance of actions, non-performance of duties, not being disciplined will not remove ignorance at all. So performance of karma also will not remove, eliminate ignorance. In fact, there's no such thing called non-performance of action. You'll be doing something or the other. You can never be a jobless person. Simply sitting, you can say, I'm lazy. I'm lazy, but you can never say, I'm complete, I don't do anything at all, you can never say. sitting, sleeping, getting up and eating and drinking, and everything is action only. You can say non-productive, useless actor. That's all, isn't it? But there's also a thing called non-performer. Therefore, non-performance will not eliminate ignorance. Similarly, performance of anything also will not eliminate ignorance. So here the idea is not to say that you should not do any karma at all. It's only a way to remember. See, for accomplishing a given end, you must have appropriate means. Isn't it? So what is karma for must be very clear. And what is jnanam for must be very clear. What is the end must be very clear. Ultimate end is moksha, which is already there. That I do not know what it is, therefore I need to know. For that knowledge, mind must be pure and steady, and for which I should do karma. You should know what is for what. Without understanding the kasambandha, jnana moksha yoho kaha sambandha. What is the connection between knowledge and moksha? What is the connection between, is it the jnanas, patram, mind and the knowledge? How the mind should be for the knowledge? And for that, for the preparedness, what is the connection between karma and disciplined mind? This, sambandha must be very clear. Then you will not say, let me practice meditation. Let me do japam. People also say, in Kali Yuga, I can only do namasankirtanam and attain moksha. Whichever yuga it is the knowledge. Whichever yuga it is, wherever you live in any part of the world, whenever you live, whoever lived, whoever lives, wherever you live, doesn't matter, moksha is, only by jnanam. Moksha is accomplishable only by jnanam. Jnanam is mokshaha. Because karma, here karma is, importance of karma is not negated here, not denied here. Karma is not the direct means for moksha. Because karma cannot eliminate ignorance. Because ignorance and karma are not enemies. They are opposed to each other. That is what he said here. Avirodhitaya. Virodhita means enmity. Avirodhita means non-enmity. Not inimical to each other. Not opposed to each other. Karma, the action, any form of karma. Every day I go to temple, I do Anga Pradakshanam, Adi Pradakshanam, pilgrimage, Ganga Snanam. Any karma is fine. All for Antakarna Shuddhi. That we have to do. But karma, because of its unopposedness, because it's it is opposed, not opposed to ignorance, avidyam na vinivartayet. We have to na avidyam, na vidyam, avidyam na vinivartayet. So, avidyam na vinivartayet. No, it does not remove ignorance. Karma does not eliminate ignorance. This is the idea. This is what is conveyed here. Why? Because it's to emphasize the fact. Knowledge alone will eliminate ignorance. Karma will not eliminate ignorance. Why? Because karma is not opposed to ignorance. How? You have to understand. Any karma, look at this. Any karma itself is expression of our inner pressure in the form of desire. Why do we do anything? Any karma is expression of our desire, our needs, either natural biological needs or natural emotional needs or desires. Any action, any movement, any motion, any karma is what? Is expression of our needs and desires. Why there are desires? Because there are needs. Emotional need becomes desire, desire becomes an action. Biological, natural needs compel you and you, the actions are there. Why there are needs? Because there is inadequacy. Sense of inadequacy centered on I. Why there is sense of inadequacy centered on I? The inadequacy is simply inadequacy is there, there is no problem. Inadequacy centered on I is the problem, because of which there are naturally needs and there are desires. Because of desires only actions are happening. Karma is. And the inadequacy is because of sense of limitation centered on I, smallness centered on I. That is because of wrong identity. Because the limitations of the non-self are superimposed upon the self. The superimposition is because of the erroneous perception. Erroneous perception is because of ignorance. Therefore, ignorance is a great, great, great grandfather of the karma. So, highly, an Indian grandfather means affinity towards grandchild. Great, great grandchild is so much. Understand? So, they will always like to hug each other. They never like to part with each other. Okay, therefore, avirodhitaya karma avidyam na vinivartayati vinivartayet. Understand? This is the reason. Root cause of the karma itself. Akhilam karma. That's why we say, you understand what karma is. What is this act, something called karma? Why it is? What? Why diseases are? Why needs are? Why there is inadequacy? Why there is fear? Why there is anxiety? Why there is erroneous perception? Why there is adhyaropa? A moola karanam is what? Avidya. Therefore, avidya is what now? Cause of your bondage. That avidya, elimination of that avidya alone will, what now? Help you discover the freedom. Elimination of avidya is discovery of freedom. Is it clear now? Now, in fact, in the wake of knowledge, the very doership will go, enjoyership will go, the very karma will resolve. Is it clear now? Therefore, karma is not the means. For which Swamiji used to give this example, one more thing. It is, you know, in dark room, if you happen to see utter darkness, you will not see anything. Therefore, perception itself is not possible. Therefore, perception of something being not there, there cannot be any fear or anything. Isn't it? For you to get frightened, you must perceive something. In utter darkness, you cannot perceive anything. And in bright light also, you will see everything as they are. Then wrong perception is not possible. Incorrect knowledge is not possible. But in dim light, incorrect knowledge is possible, isn't it? Incorrect means what? When you say wrong perception is possible, only in dim light. In total brightness, error is not possible. In utter darkness also, error is not possible. Error is possible only in dimness. Similarly, only in half knowledge, error is possible. So what happens, isn't it? So when in dim light, when you walk into the room and you see snake, you mistake the telephone wire for a rope. Nowadays, cordless. In those days, we used to have all over the house, wires will be going like this. Nowadays, now you can mistake what now? Computer things. And then it looks like a snake. You mistake it. And you become frightened. And you start screaming, or you get frightened, you start shivering. What is the solution for removing your fear? Sit in a corner and do Ramanama Japam. Will it remove your fear? No. Sing bhajans? No. I have choir singing? No. Cook nice food and eat? No. Meditation? You can't even imagine meditation. Sit and meditate upon snake. Fear will go. What will remove the fear? If fear is caused by erroneous perception of perception of the rope or the wire for a snake, only correction of perception alone will remove, is the only solution for removal of fear. Or sing or dance, no karma is what? No, isn't erroneous perception and karma are not opposed to each other. Whatever you do, fear will continue to be there as long as error in your perception is there. Okay? The removal of fear is absolutely caused by error in your perception. The correction of the error in your perception is the only means for the removal of fear. Isn't it? Similarly here also, say what now? Avirodhitaya. Avirodhi. Virodhi means enemy. Virodhita means enmity. Avirodhitaya karma avidyam na vinivartayet. Karma will not eliminate ignorance because they are not opposed to each other. Because they are not inimical. He says, like what? Similarly, vidya avidyam nihanti eva. Whereas what now? Ignorance, it is the knowledge which alone will eliminate, undo ignorance. Vidya avidyam nihanti eva. Eva means what now? For emphasis. Arivu mattundan ariyamai olikkum. Arive ariyamai olikkum. It is the knowledge which alone will eliminate ignorance, dispel ignorance. Vidya eva avidyam nihanti. Vidya eva avidyam nihanti. He says, how? And Shankara gives example. I told you earlier, everywhere you have to remember, Pakasya Vannivat. Earlier example. Isn't it? Now he says what? Tejas Timira Sanghavat. Tejaha Timira Sanghavat. Tejas Timira Sanghavat. Tejaha Timira Sanghavat. Tejaha means light. Tejas means tejaha means light. Timiram means darkness. Light and darkness are opposed to each other. They are opposed to each other. Why? In the presence of one, the other thing cannot exist. Because they are opposed to each other, the light alone, what now, will eliminate darkness. To eliminate darkness, I bring nice perfume and put in the room to eliminate darkness. No. I paint my room with nice bright colors. What will remove the darkness from the room? To make this room shine bright, to remove the ignorance, I try many things. I get nice imported perfumes and spray everywhere, room sprays. I bring nice books from all over and fill my house with nice books. I also bring lots of food and keep in my kitchen. I also paint with nice colors. Whatever I do, every day, morning and dinner, I sit and do japam. I do pujas. Whatever I do to remove the darkness, I need to have light. Other than the light, nothing can remove darkness. Why? They are the only, those are the things opposed to each other. Okay? So, Timira Sanghavat. Tejas Timira Sanghavat. Just as the Timiram is removed by the association of the light, eliminates the darkness. Similarly, it is the knowledge which alone will dispel ignorance. Ignorance, darkness of ignorance. They are opposed to each other. Whereas, karma not being, karma and ajnanam not being opposed to each other, having great affinity towards each other, like great-great-grandfather and the great-great-grandson, they will sit together happily, supporting each other. The more, okay, karma will create more and more punya papa, and more punya papa will more and more give janmas, ajnanam can happily sit there. And ajnanam will make, what now, will result in more and more of disease and more of karma. They sustain, they nourish each other. They sustain each other. They contribute for each other's well-being. Therefore, they being unopposed to each other, okay, karma cannot eliminate ignorance. Therefore, please understand, you have to do yajnaha, yagaha, danam, tapaha, karma, sudharma, anushtanam, puja, punaskaraha, all pilgrimage, all the tapas, all the sadhanani, all the karmas are important only for antahkarna shuddhihi and naischalyam. But for moksha, jnanam eva sadhanam. So please understand, karma cannot be the means of moksha. And the second thing, moksha is, what is sought by you is everlasting happiness. You are not working hard to have moksha which will come and go. You are already sure, if at all, there is a freedom. Even there is a discovery of the freedom which is already there. The once the discovered moksha, you don't want to lose again. That means it must be everlasting. if it must be everlasting, eternal, it would not, it shouldn't have had a beginning also. Therefore, the moksha which is sought by you is eternal, being identical with the very reality, the very surupa of the reality. And that eternal, everlasting happiness and moksha, how can it be the attained by karma, which is dependent on so many accessories which are time bound in nature? Time bound action, which is dependent on the performance of which is dependent on so many accessories which are also time bound in nature, and such time bound action dependent on time bound accessories, how can that such karma be the means for timeless eternal freedom? It's not logical. Is it clear? Therefore, what Shankara says here, avirodhitaya karma, avirodhitaya karma, na vidyam vinivartayet, vidya vidyam nihantyeva, tejas timira sanghavat, I'll also give you the prose order hereafter, so we'll remember it. Avirodhitaya karma avidyam na vinivartayet. Okay. Avirodhitaya karma avidyam na vinivartayet. Tejaha timira sanghavat vidya avidya eva avidyam nihanti. This is the prose order. See, timira sangha means, tejas timira sangha means, sangha means association. So here, the light comes to say hello to darkness. As soon as you see the light, this disappears. Our Swamiji told a story. Remember that? You all remember the story? No, the Narada went and told sun, it's a mist, darkness, night. And she's so beautiful and sun want to see her. Somehow make, and he goes to India and she goes to America, like that. Swamiji told a story, you know. And whatever is said here till this third verse is clear, isn't it? And remember the examples. I want to remember the example. Tejas timira sanghavat vidyai eva avidyam nihanti. Pakasya vannivat jnanameva mokshayas ekasadhanam. Mokshaikasadhanam jnanameva. Like what? Pakasya vannivat. Remember the examples. That's the beauty of this Atmabodha. Every small thing, and this example is given. Appropriate, simple example, which we all know in day-to-day life.
Just to be very clear, just in the second one, how does it...
You want the prose order?
Bodaha.
No, I tell you.
Anya sadhanebhyaha.
No, I tell you. Anya sadhanebhyaha bodaha hi sakshat mokshaika sadhanam. The panchami. Compared to other means.
Compared to
other means. Why? Because why the doubt comes, it is the Shastram which prescribes all these disciplines. Who prescribes the karma? Isn't it? It is the scripture itself, the whole karma kanda is what? Shastram prescribes karma and asks everyone to do the duty. Come on, perform ritual, pray, worship, do your duty, know your duty, do your duty, follow values, satyam vada, it tells, you know, and pancha maha yajnas, etc., do this, follow this, isn't it? So, pratishiddha karma, don't do pratishiddha karma, vihitam karma, do this, follow. So, the whole karma kanda emphasizes the karma. That means, what does it mean? Karma is a sadhanam. Karma is also sadhanam. Karma is for sadhanam for what? Is it for moksha or for antakarna shuddhihi? For what? We get confused. We are not very clear. Shastram prescribes karma. Shastram emphasizes Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga means what? 8 limbs. Not compulsory, but any one of the limbs, all the 8-fold limbs are said to be yoga because they are supposed to contribute for disciplining the mind. Mental discipline. If it contributes for mental discipline only, it's called yoga. Simply, you are practicing yoga, still a very indisciplined person means that is not yoga, that's a mere physical exercise. It can do some goods for your physical fitness. If it doesn't contribute for emotional fitness, then it is not yoga. Please understand. Puja you do, if it contributes for emotional well-being, antakarna shuddhihi, then it is yoga. The cooking, eating, drinking, you're going to toilet, all karma you do, if you have proper attitude, it contributes for your the emotional well-being, in the form of mental purity. To get rid of, to manage your thoughts, raga dveshas, it is yoga. Any karma becomes yoga if it contributes for antakarna shuddhi, to neutralize the raga dveshas. Isn't it? So, ashtanga we have, 8-fold limbs you have. So, Shastram emphasizes all the karma. Yajna, yaga, tapaha, upasanam, all those things. Therefore, we get confused. The karma also is a sadhanam. Jnanam also is a sadhanam. Ultimately for what? Moksha. We studied in the Taittiriya also. Remember. What are the 41 samskaras for? Everything is ultimately for moksha. Everything is for moksha. The sadhanam. Therefore, you get confused. So many are prescribed. Which is the means? Let me do only one thing then. Hey, please understand, all those things are all for what? All those so many sadhanani which are prescribed in the karma kanda of the Veda, they are prescribed as the means, their indirect means for moksha, not sakshat sadhanam. The direct means for moksha. Why the indirect means? They have to contribute for disciplining the mind, mental purity and steadiness. And that mental purity and steadiness is the qualification required for knowledge. And it is the knowledge which is the direct means for moksha. Because knowledge itself is mokshaha. Knowledge itself is mokshaha. That is why anya sadhanebhyaha. Is it clear now? Anya sadhanebhyaha. bodhaha jnanam, knowledge. What now? Eva moksha eka sadhanam. Mokshaya ekameva sadhanam. Moksha mokshaika sadhanam. Anya sadhanebhyaha, when compared to all the means, other means, it is the knowledge which is the only direct means of moksha. All other disciplines, everything else, all the means of, they're all means of preparation, should not be mistaken for means of moksha. Understand? So you know the advantage of karma, you know the usefulness of karma, you know the importance of karma, you know the necessity of karma, you also know the limitation of karma. So that you can avoid overvaluing. We either overvalue or undervalue. Know the due value. Thereby you will know, be conscious of what your end is. It's all making you put in the right track. Like what? Pakasya vannivate moksha vina jnanam. Vina jnanam mokshaha na siddhyati. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.